Good morning.
Good morning.
So we changed things up a little bit today. And I'll make a confession. It messes with me to change things up too, which probably means we need to change things up more often because we get too used to things being just so. We get too used to the way things look, the way things are supposed to flow, and maybe it's good for us to change it up sometimes and rock the boat a little bit. This morning, of course, we're at Palm Sunday, and so you're probably maybe expecting a Palm Sunday type message, but actually today we're going to talk about the gift of healing, and the more I think about it, the more it seems to make sense to start here as we come into Holy Week. Because next week, of course, on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, we have a reason to celebrate. Because Christ gave us everything, right? So maybe this is a good place to start Holy Week. If you would join me with the reading of the 23rd Psalm. Read it together, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today as we come into your presence, as we prepare our hearts and our minds to open your word together, Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would fill this room today. Father, I just lift up every brother and sister that sits here in this room, every brother and sister that might be sitting at home today under the weather, watching online. Father, for those even later in the week that are going to listen through online, listen in on Facebook, YouTube, wherever they're at, Lord, doesn't matter what day of the week they listen to this. Father, I ask that you would open their hearts, open their minds to be receptive, not to me, but to you. Lord God, right now, we want to be intentional about inviting your Holy Spirit here. We say, come, inhabit our praise. Inhabit this time where we build one another up. Lord, come and be among us. That's our prayer today. Father, I do ask that you would touch the ears of your children, Lord, to receive the message which you've laid on my heart. And Father, at that same time, would you touch my own lips with a refining coal, that I would speak only the words that you give me and none of my own. Lord, we thank you for what you will accomplish today. And we thank you for all that you have in store for us. We bless you, Lord, and give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been in the book of Acts, and in just a second here, we're going to read from Acts chapter 3. But as we've been progressing through the book of Acts, we made a commitment to you guys that we would address different gifts of the Holy Spirit as we come to them. So about a month ago, we talked about the gifts of tongues. And today, now that we're through chapters 3 and 4, we're going to revisit chapter 3 and look specifically today at the gifts of healing. Talk a little bit about the ins and outs of that. And so as I was preparing for this, I had the opportunity to talk with a lot. I'll try to stand still. I move too much and this microphone gets mad at me. I had the opportunity to talk with a lot of you about the difficulty of understanding the gift of tongues. And I think it's probably generally agreeable that a lot of people have a hard time grasping it. But what I've come to the conclusion, and I'm confident in saying, is this. When it comes to any of the spiritual gifts, we're probably going to feel that way. you don't realize how little you actually know about, say, the gifts of healing, like we're going to talk about today, until you sit down and start to study it. And I gave a lot of time into this study and surprised myself at what I learned. And I expect the same will come whenever we talk about words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy. You know, we all of these things, we're gonna find, if you want to shut this one off, I'll just stand here. We're going to find that these gifts are kind of hard. I'm going to try. These gifts are hard to get a full grasp on. But I want us to go into this with this understanding. That's okay. Why? Because if God wanted us to have a full understanding, he would have made it so that we had a full understanding. But he wants to leave us with a little bit of a mystery so that we can live in him in faith. Amen? Amen. All right, so as I was putting this together, sorry about that. As I'm putting this together, this is what I felt that the Lord was leading me to start with. It says, spiritual gifts are your supernatural skill set. In the natural, you have certain skill sets that you use for everyday life. You use them for work. You use them in household duties. And each of those skill sets have become like a second nature to you. So you don't even think about them as you carry them out. You just use the skills which you have in order to complete the task at hand. Is that agreeable to you? If it is, say amen. Amen. So if we look at spiritual gifts as a skill set, we might come to understand that as we age and mature, that is spiritually, our skill sets may also change. We retain the skills that we have learned already, and as we move forward with the Lord, we increase our skill sets as we broaden our knowledge base. For this reason, I do not believe that we should marry any one gift, but rather be the bride of Christ and allow him to work in us and through us by the power of Holy Spirit, allowing the manifestation gifts to arise naturally, or you might say supernaturally, naturally, without question, alarm, or concern. We run into a problem, however, whenever we decide that we will be married to one gift and one gift only forever. If that's agreeable to you, say amen. This is like placing a flower in a pot and expecting it to grow for years and years without ever being repotted. After so long, the flower will stop blooming, the leaves will stop growing, and the plant will choke out and die. But if we are faithful to continually repot the plant and allow it to continue to grow from its roots, it will live a longer, more beautiful life. So the challenge here is this: allow yourself to grow as Holy Spirit leads you and become the most beautiful spiritual being you can possibly be. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I know how to kill plants. I'm first to admit that. You give me a flower, it'll be dead in a couple days. So let's go to the book of Acts. We're going to begin. You want me to move this way? You bring me a different one? All right. We're going to try this out. I can't stand still. That's option C. Okie dokie. Whew, I got my wings back. All righty, so let's start in Acts chapter 3. Just to recap, this is where we come across the gifts of healing for the first time in the book of Acts. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, about 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple. Stop there for just a second. Can you imagine having to have people carry you to the temple gate every single day? That'd be hard, wouldn't it? But some of you get it. That'd be tough. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And Peter said, "Look at us." I like that commanding sound. "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Did he ever? Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Y'all are too quiet. Woo! Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went in with them to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Right? Just like this. "Guys, I got healed. You can't believe it. These guys healed me." Right? Is that what it describes? Woo! I've been healed. I'm excited. I'm jumping. I'm walking. I'm what? Praising God. Excited. Look what the Lord has done. Right? This tells me, if we want to pattern ourselves after the first century church, well, we got to get excited about what God can do. No more of this. That don't work. We serve a good God. Amen? So this is our initial occurrence of this gift of healing in the book of Acts. So when we look at the gifts, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That should be next slide. Just to give you a reminder of where the names of these gifts are coming from, read through this quickly. "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given." Why? "For the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing," there it is, "by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between kinds of spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." He repots us when we need to be repotted. Amen? Okay, now, looking at this, there's something super important that we have to acknowledge here. A couple super important things. One, how many different spirits are we talking about? One. Super important. Does that mean that any of these come from different spirits? No, they are all of the same Spirit. Please drive that home in the brain. Number two, today when we're talking about gifts, hear that S, of healing, it is so important for us to take a look at this plural word, to another gifts of healing. Why? Because what are we so quick to do? We are so quick when we talk about any spiritual gift to put it in the singular form. The gift. And even myself, guilty of at times saying the gift of healing. But with healing especially, it does not work. And we're going to talk today about why. There's some basic vocabulary that we have to cover today so that we can get a good understanding of what we're looking at. So this is where you're going to need your pen, because you're going to want to take notes on this stuff. You're going to want to think about it. On Wednesday night, instead of our normal Bible study time, we're going to meet in here on Wednesday, and we're going to do another Q&A night, just like we did whenever we talked about gifts of tongues. We're going to meet in here on Wednesday night and talk about gifts of healings, because chances are you're going to have questions. So, first word that we're going to talk about, is iama. This is a Greek root word, and it's defined as a means of healings. Notice the S's on both of those words. Means of healings. So this tells me that when we talk about healing and the root word is iama, there might be more than just one way to look at it. If that's okay with you, say amen. Okay? And now, during my personal study, I like to use the New American Standard Bible 95 edition. So I listed these little tidbits for you here as we cover these words. Iama, this root word, is only used 3 times in the NASB 95. Okay? So this is a pretty important word. Shows us that there's going to be some variable as we look at healing. Now, the next word is a conjugation of iama, and that is iaomai, or iaomai. Some people say iaomai, just depends on how good of a Greek scholar you are. I'm more of a Hebrew guy, so I'm going to butcher it every time I try to say it. But this is the Greek verb meaning to heal. And it's used 26 times in the NASB 95. And every time that it's used, all 26 times, it seems to indicate an instantaneous healing. So it says something along the lines of, Peter looked at him and said, get up. And he got up. Okay? And it happened, bam, right now. There was not really any lingering in the middle. It happened. Right now. Instant. We come across this 26 times in the NASB. The next word that we find in certain healing instances is this Greek word called therapeuo. Now, what's that sound like? Sounds like therapy. Anybody ever have to go through occupational or physical therapy? Probably a couple of us. Let's see, it's been over a decade ago I broke my hand and I had to go through really tedious occupational therapy because I couldn't do this. I was casted this way for 12 weeks, and when they took it out of the cast, it was like, the hand didn't want to do anything. So I had to go through therapy to learn to get my finger dexterity back. Okay, now look at the meaning. The meaning's a little bit different. To serve or to cure, depending on its context. Now, this one seems to indicate some kind of a process healing, just like therapy, right? So my hand healed back together, but the healing had to continue so that I could use it. I had to regain functionality. So I had to go through some therapy. And we see these kind of things in Scripture. This one's used 42 times in the NASB 95. So, math quiz. Which is greater, 26 or 42? 42. So which must be more common? 42, therapeuo. We come across this more frequently in Scripture. So, and we'll talk about why that's important for us to get our heads around. Let's talk about it now, actually. When we come to God and say, God, I need healing, what do we expect? We expect it now, right? And I don't know, I'm not going to bash anybody for that. I'm that way too. God, I want it today. Heal me. I want it now. I need you to do this. Is that our Americanized society that's in our brain? Probably. Other countries probably like, Lord, whenever you're ready. And we're like, come on now. And we have McDonald's to blame for that, for real. But it's so important for us to recognize that in Scripture, more healings took time than we care to acknowledge. So I want to show you this Scripture verse. It's Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And look at this. It uses both of them back to back. When Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons, to cure diseases, and then sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Note that I added emphasis to this, but here's both words. Both words, back to back. Verse 1, verse 2. What is so important as the church? What's the precursor? Before we go out and operating in any of this, is there something that we have to receive? Oh, how about that? Power. And? Y'all don't believe it. What?
Authority.
There you go. Some authority. In whose name?
Jesus.
Yes. So look at this. Jesus is going to call them together. Does he call us together?
Yes.
We're sitting together this morning. Calls them together and says, I need you guys to go out and do this, but you need some power. Why? Because my words aren't going to cut it. Peter's words ain't going to cut it. Nobody's words are going to cut it. They have to have Holy Ghost power behind them, or they don't work. That's how that is. So he gives them power, he gives them authority to drive out demons. Funny that that comes first. We'll talk about that. To cure diseases, to proclaim the gospel. They need authority and power even to proclaim the gospel, folks. If that's okay with you, say amen.
Amen.
And to heal the sick. Now, let's make some differentiations between these words. Now, the way that I have your outline set up is kind of a quasi-chart. Boy, me and Bob, we're good at these quasi-charts, aren't we? So it's obviously not really a chart, but you have these lines, these blank lines, that are underneath where you wrote iaomai, next to instantaneous, and then you have some blank lines underneath of therapeuo, where it's indicated process. And these are where you're going to write these differentiations, if you'll hit the next slide for me. Oh, next one after that. There we go. So, iaomai. It seems to involve some of these things. Number one, removal of demons. Ooh, we don't want to talk about that, right? Them scary words. But it's the truth. When we come across these instantaneous healings, there seems to be a frequent presence of removal of demons. There seems to be a presence of a touch, of a word, of a conversion, of a confession. Okay? Now I want to highlight, I'm not going to go through all of these scripture references because it would take up a lot of our time. So I want you to write them down. I want you to read through them throughout the week. But then what we're going to do is I'm just going to highlight a couple of them for you. So I'm going to highlight for you here a touch. Because in Mark 5:29, this woman's been bleeding for 12 years. She's been ostracized, outcast from everybody. Nobody wants anything to do with her. She's ceremonially unclean. And she knew. She thought, scripture says, she thought to herself and she knew, if I could only touch but the hem of his garment, just a thread from his garment, I know I will be whole and healed immediately. So her faith, note that this healing wasn't that Jesus came and approached her, but rather by her faith, she came to touch him. Is that okay with you? Say amen. She came to touch him, pressed through a crowd, fought her way to him. And you can imagine that as she pressed through a crowd, people probably recognized her, the outcast woman. There were probably people around saying, she's unclean. Get her out of here. Keep her away. Don't touch her. Because if anyone touches her, they're unclean. And it's this wicked cycle of uncleanness now. So you can imagine that this must have been so awful for her. This must have been terrible to press through that massive crowd. But she knew. She had faith. Okay, a word in Matthew 8:8, a centurion came to Jesus and he said, "Don't even come to my house. I just need you to give a word. I just need you to speak and my child will be healed." He had faith enough to know that Jesus didn't even have to come near his child. He had faith enough to know, "Master, if you only say the word, it's one word on the authority of Christ. And it's finished." Ooh, that sounds like a message for next week. So these are some of the things that these instantaneous healings seem to involve. Now, therapeuo, it seems to involve, how about that? Same thing, removal of demons. Both healings seem to involve a removal of demons. Now, I'm going to take this into the depth with you for just a minute. It is so important to understand why both of these types of healings seem to involve removal of demons. Because everything that happens to the physical body tends to happen from the inside out. If that's okay with you, say amen. So, let's use a physical ailment as an example. Say you have the stomach flu. Is your skin ailed? Well, might be. Not really. It's your gut. It's your belly. You can't look into your belly and say, "Oh, there's an infection in there." But something's wrong. Something's not right. You get that twisted up feeling. And it causes a lot of bad things, right? Expulsion of things, we'll say. And those things have to be removed. You following this? If you're following this, say amen. Amen. Those things have to be removed in order for you to get better. Make sense? And so, if we have a spiritual issue, it may take hold of our physical body. I won't say it does 100% of the time, but it does a great deal of the time. Our spiritual condition changes us. If our spiritual condition is joyous, does it change you? Well, sure. People look at you and say, "Why are you so happy all the time?" Because I got Jesus, baby. And I got joy. I'm excited. That's why. But if my spiritual condition is bitter, well, I might be that one saying, "Why are you so happy all the time?" Or kind of baring your teeth, getting gnarly with people. It's noticeable. It happens from the inside out. So that's why removal of demons is in both of these, because we're healed from the inside out. A touch, again. Anointing with oil, as it's indicated in the book of James. Medicinal herbs. That seems to be involved with therapeutic healings. And washing seems to. So in Luke 10:34, I believe it's a Samaritan man with a wound. And as they come to him, what do? They don't just command him be healed. Instead, they pour wine and olive oil on his wound. Why? Because there's medicinal properties in those things. So wash it out with the wine. There's an alcohol content. Kind of get it cleanish. Maybe very clean for that day's standard, I don't know. And then pour the olive oil on that wound, because there's a healing property to the olive oil that's going to help pull that wound together and heal it. And we see that given as an example in Luke chapter 10, verse 34. And then washing. See, Jesus himself used this method, because in John 9:7, there's a man that's blind from birth. And what happens? He comes to Jesus, and Jesus spits in the dirt. I don't recommend doing this. Jesus spits in the dirt, makes some mud, smears it on his eyes, and tells him, "Go and wash. Go down to Siloam and wash." And when he goes to Siloam and washes, what happens? He's healed. He can see. So that's so important. So important to know that even Jesus used this method. Not every healing that Jesus performed was instantaneous. Some of them took a couple steps. And we see Paul use both of these in Acts chapter 28. You can jot it down, Acts chapter 28, verses 8 and 9. And let's see. Okay, yep, we're coming up to that. If you can jump back a slide for me. There we go. Nope. There you go. So jot that down, and you can read through Acts chapter 28 on your own time, but you'll see the use of both of these words between verses 8 and 9. I'm going to choose not to read it again for time's sake, and also because Paul gets bit by a snake, and y'all know how I feel about snakes. All right, so we're going to look now. We've got these Greek words under our hat, and now we want to take a second and make a list of English words, ways we understand, note how I have this worded, ways we understand God may heal. Yes, he does. Yes, he will. But understand that it's not one of these 100% of the time. These are ways God may heal us. Okay, so next slide for me. Instantly. Well, we talked a little bit about that. We used this same scripture verse. Then Peter said, silver or gold, I don't have. But what I do have, which is power, because my rabbi gave me power to do this. That which I do have, I give to you. Now, in the name of my rabbi, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise ye and walk. That's my King James brain slipping out. Get up and walk. Taking him by the right hand. Notice that he didn't just say, get up and walk and leave him. Right? Why? Because Peter says, I have to see that you believe this. So he says, get up and walk. Well, buddy that has been carried back and forth all these years is probably, you sure about that? You saw my friends carry me here, right? I'm not so sure this is going to do. But he believed Peter enough to say, take my hand. I told you to get up. Take my hand. Well, in the moment that he took Peter's hand, he believed. I can tell you that much. You know how I can tell you that? Because he felt the power and he stood up. And immediately, instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. Power transfer. Amen. Say amen a little louder. Amen. Power transfer. A touch. And he jumped to his feet and began to walk. I won't give you that illustration again. Woo! Short illustration. He's excited. It's good. The next way. Over time. Okay? Mark chapter 8, between verses 23 and 25, he took the blind man by the hand, he led him outside the village. When he spit on the man's eyes, again, I don't recommend it, and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? And he said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. So there's something happening, but it's not complete yet. There's something more that has to come. Because these people need to start looking more like people, less like trees. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and the eyes were opened. And his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. So, take note. This is Jesus healing the man. So why should we ever expect that we'll say a person operating under the gift of healing, under the gifts of healing, would lay hands on us once and we'd be instantly healed? That settles it. If Jesus had to go through a two-step process here, maybe we have to go through more than one step sometimes. Okay? laid his hands on. Try it. What do you see? Okay. You're starting to see trees. Sorry, buddy. You're not in the fields. You're in the city. These are people, not trees. Put my hand on you again. What do you see? I can see clearly now the rain. Oh, nope. He can see clearly. His eyes are open. His sight's restored. But Jesus laid hands on him twice. So it happens over time. Next, by medicine. Now, let's read these two verses, and then I'll talk a little bit more about what I actually mean by medicine. Unpopular opinion, I will add. He went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring olive oil and wine. That's the one that we were just talking about. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him in, and took care of him. Using olive oil, using wine, there's treatment process that was used, okay? And then in 1 Timothy 5 and 23, Timothy must be dealing with a little bit of bellyache here and there. And so Paul says, stop drinking water only and use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent illnesses. He's saying, this will do you a little good. It'll help get your gut in line. Anybody ever hear the current rage about gut health? Certainly. If you're watching TV, there's always ads for, well, whatever they're calling them now, different vitamins, different supplements to restore your gut health. I could have made another commercial like I did a month ago, but I didn't. But, you know, you have these various things that you can use. And so we use this term by medicine. Now, again, unpopular opinion. Are either of these pharmaceutical treatments that are listed in Scripture? No, not exactly. Now, I'm going to share a testimony right here. Back in August, we had a seminar here about hearing God's voice. And I think that that was a good starting point for where we are now, because as a result of that seminar, we're taking a deeper walk, a deeper stride in our faith, knowing that we can commune with God. We can hear his voice. We can receive instruction directly from him through the Holy Spirit. Now, for those of you that know me very well, for those of you that don't know me, I'll give you the background here. I was born with a heart condition, and a couple of years ago required me to go on medication, because my heart rate skyrockets very easily. I have palpitations, prone to fainting. I generally don't, but it happens. And so a couple of years ago, I had to go on a pharmaceutical medication, and I'll be honest with you in saying I wasn't real happy about going on the pharmaceutical medication. I didn't want what I felt was the life sentence, because I had controlled it for so many years with natural remedies. I will be honest in saying I got a little slack with my natural remedies, and the pharmaceutical became easier, and that's why I gave in. A couple of months ago, I decided my medication's not as effective as it should be, and the natural thing to do would be call the doctor and get a higher dose. But I'm stubborn. And I said, you know what? If my body's going to adapt to it, I'm going to take this away from my body. And so I started weaning myself back. My wife, a registered nurse, got after me a little bit. Eric, you can't just take yourself off of medication. And I had just recently graduated. I said, I'm a doctor now. I can do whatever I want. And so I started taking myself off of my medication. And it's gone very well. I'm replacing my medication with herbal supplements. Things are going very, very well. But in the last couple of weeks, I started using a new lotion on my chest. And the lotion was cocoa butter based. And I started having palpitations like mad, my heart rate being erratic. And I'm thinking, what is the matter? Like, know, am I having some kind of a delayed detox effect? I can't figure this out. Until this week, on Thursday, I'm sitting in my office, and I pick up my lotion, and folks, I believe the voice of God reminded me as I picked up that lotion jar that has caffeine in it. And I'm rubbing it directly over my heart. And so I'm absorbing caffeine through my skin directly of all things, directly over my heart. I've been caffeine free for 10 years. So this prolonged exposure to even a slight bit of caffeine over my heart has me going crazy. Well, of course, I stopped using it. And the next day, I'm fine. My heart rate's not going over 100 anymore. I'm not having palpitations. But where would I be if I wasn't able to hear the voice of God? Amen? Where would I be if I wasn't living in that lifestyle of saying, God, give me direction. I know that it can be a little bit dumb to take yourself off of medications. I went through enough of nursing school to know that. But still I did it because I figured I could do it well and I could do it with good education, good information. But if I wasn't able to hear the Lord say, Eric, that has caffeine in it, well, maybe I'd still be using it. Maybe I would have put myself back on that prescription drug at a higher dose. But God, amen? So when I say by medicine, I truly believe that God has given us medicine on the earth. And I know that that's not really a popular opinion in America, and I'm okay with that. I apologize if it offends you. But that is my personal conviction, that God has given us a bounty of medication here on the earth. I guess I'll leave it at that. But know this, that in this process of healing, when it comes to a process healing, please know the importance of hearing God's voice in your life. Amen. Amen. Finally, this one's going to be where we have a little bit of a hard talk. The ultimate healing, believer's death. Now, this is why it's a hard talk. Do only believers die? No. Everybody dies. So we look at Scripture. And Philippians 1:21, Paul says this, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Well, if to die is gain for the believer, that must mean there's no sorrow, there's no pain, that catch in my hip is gone, the glitch in my shoulder is gone. It must mean that I'm living after death in a restored way. And in 2 Corinthians 5:8, he says, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Any of you ever say, I'm ready to go home? People say that. I hear people say that. They say it to me. Y'all know who you are. They say, I'm ready to go home. For various reasons. I'm in pain all the time. I'm suffering. I don't like the way the world's going. You name it. But these two passages alone, and trust me, there are more, but these two passages alone are enough for me to come to a good understanding that when a believer dies, they achieve an ultimate healing. Now, the hard part is, sometimes we pray for an unbeliever to be healed, and they die too. You know, when we pray for a Christian to be healed, it's easy to pray, God, your will be done, because you know where that person's going. But when an unbeliever dies, and you're asking God, heal them, That's a harder pill to swallow. I wish I had good answers for that. I really wish I had this beautiful explanation of why God wouldn't heal the unbeliever and rather they died. But I don't. I don't have a good explanation for that. I have guesses, I have hypotheses, but I don't have this solid black and white, it happens this way because. I just don't. And that's just the truth. But for a believer, we recognize that when a believer draws their last breath on earth and takes their first step into glory, they've achieved the ultimate healing. If that's okay with you, say amen. So, when we come to praying for healing, whether it's praying on our own, whether it's maybe you went to a healing service, you went to the elders of the church as Scripture instructs you. Well, you see on the back of your outline, but Pastor, it didn't work. Whew. Well, maybe you're sitting here listening to this message and you think, I've prayed for people for healing and it didn't work. Or I've been prayed for healing and it didn't work. And so, I have a question, a suggestion, and a question. First question, didn't or hasn't yet? How's your faith? It didn't work or it hasn't yet? Are you remaining in faith? God is going to heal me? Or because you weren't instantaneously healed, you gave up? If you gave up the faith, you can circle didn't. But if you remain in the faith, I encourage you, circle hasn't yet. Because not every healing is instantaneous, right? Some are process. My suggestion is to check for receptor blockages. Unbelief. Unforgiveness. A lot of people deal with unforgiveness. Self-will. Unrepentant sin. We talked a month and a half ago about different things that step into the way and don't allow Holy Spirit to move. If you have these issues standing in your way, it's going to be hard to receive the flow of power. If that's okay with you, say amen. So check for receptor blockages. Okay? And I'll share a secondhand testimony. Somebody that dealt with unforgiveness, went to healing service after healing service after healing service, wasn't getting healed, finally went to someone who was listening for God's voice. She was dealing with neck pain. Couldn't get a grip on the neck pain. But all these people prayed for her healing. Nothing happened. Until she came to this man who was listening for God's voice. And as he began to pray over her, he stopped and said, "Who's your pain in the neck?" Yeah. Right? How many of us are so guilty of calling people a pain in the neck or worse? You know what I mean? A pain in the butthoot. Right? We do it. We do it. And this woman had drawn a word curse down on herself. And so this man comes to pray for her, and he says, "Who's your pain in the neck?" Well, of course, her natural response, she starts bawling. Oh my gosh. Tells him all about it. Leads her in a prayer of forgiveness, of true forgiveness. And she's healed instantaneously. Instantaneously. But she had to break the bond of unforgiveness for her pain in the neck. So watch what you say. But always check for those receptor blockages. Now my final question if you don't receive a healing right away? Does this healing require something of you? Like a lifestyle change, right? If you have, a heart or lung condition and you're smoking very heavily, well, smoking has toxic effect on heart and lungs. So maybe God wants you to stop smoking, and that's a process. It might not happen overnight. But God says, I want you to take on this lifestyle change so that you can live a fuller life for me, for my glory. That's where hearing God's voice comes into play. Because then you can stand at the altar being prayed over for healing and say, okay, God, does this healing require something of me? What do you need me to do to receive this healing? And he says, change your habits. Eric, you eat too many cosmic brownies. Eric, you eat too many Twinkies. I know you don't believe me by looking at me, but I do. You need to eat healthier. You need to be a better steward of your health. Personal conviction. I heard the Lord say that, Eric, you need to be a better steward of your health. Oof. Talk about a conversation with God. Does this healing require something of me? That's the question when you come to anyone for healing. That's the question that you have to bear in your heart. I want to be healed. I know God can heal me. What is required of me? Sometimes it is just faith. Sometimes you do just have to reach up and take Peter's hand and stand up and walk. Sometimes you got to make a change for God's glory. Finally, we need to understand that while healing can be imparted, it must be received in order to be effective. In other words, when I ask, Holy Spirit, come upon me, flow in me, flow through me, push your power out of me that these people might be healed, I believe that that empowers me to lay hands on the sick and see them made well. If the sick are brought forward and say, I'll never be made well, they'll never be made well. Amen. If the sick are brought forward saying, I don't want to make a change, they're not going to make a change. Healing must be received. It's a gift. It has to be received. And it's like Jesus rolls the stone away and says, I got presents. Which one you want? You want all of them? I'll give them all. I'll give them all to you. You want a healing? Here, it's this one. But when he's handing it to you and says, just be a better steward of your health. Well, I don't know if I can live with that. Please. Please take it. Just be a better steward of your health. But God, that requires something of me. That's scary. Or maybe he's handing it to you and saying, this one's free. Just do it for my glory. It's instantaneous. As soon as you open it, it's done. Guess what, folks? There's a scared factor behind that one, too. It's not even that it requires something of you. It's that it's going to change your life from what you know. That man knew being carried back and forth to the gate every day. That's what he knew. That's what he was comfortable with. Take it. Life changed. Now who's going to carry him to the gate? Nobody has to. He's going to skip there. Begging over. He's excited. It worked. Finally, last but certainly not least, the proper response when gifts of healing are at work. The proper response when any gift of the Spirit, we don't even need to go to the last slide because y'all know it. What is it? It starts with an L. Love. That's our next slide. The proper response when any gift is at work is love. We love the person imparting. We love the person receiving. We love everybody around us. Because Paul told the church in Corinth, if you have any of this without love, you got nothing. Dirt, nothing. It requires love. And I left a big, wide open space for you to write love as big as you can. No little letters. Why? Because look how big love is. Look how big love is. When I look at that cross, I don't see little letters. I see red letters that are big and bold and addressed to me. We're going to come into our time of communion. And you'll notice that things are a little bit different today. We don't have our little pre-filled cups. Instead, you have cups in front of you. In the foil packet, there is a piece of bread. And that is not gluten-free. Inside of the snack bag, there are gluten-free crackers. For those of you that require gluten-free crackers. There are hand wipes on your table. Okay, so give yourself a little washy-washy as you come to your time of communion. And as you're getting your hands wiped clean, as you're getting ready to take communion, I'm gonna guide you guys through this. Skip ahead in that track for me just a little bit.
That we might see.
I'm going to have you guys listen closely to me as we go through our time of communion this morning, because obviously it's a little bit different than what we usually do. And we're going to change it up a little bit more, okay? So I'm going to guide you through this. It's going to be a little different, but I'm hoping it's going to be very meaningful for you. Okay? So I want one of you to take the piece of bread out of the foil packet and handing it to the person next to you. The person next to you is going to tear a piece off and you're going to say, "This is the body of Christ broken for you." And you're going to pass it around the table and do exactly that. Don't eat it yet. Okay, just hold that in your hands for just a few minutes. And as you pass it again, this is the body of Christ, broken for you. Okay. And now very carefully pass one another a cup, saying, "This is the blood of Christ for your sins." This is the blood of Christ for your sins. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come before you, we consecrate these emblems unto you, O God. Giving you thanks and giving you praise for what they stand for. Lord, there's no accident in this. But there's perfect purpose. There's purpose in the body which was broken, that was scourged. There's purpose in the blood that was shed. There was purpose for Jesus' death on the cross. There was purpose in his burial. There was purpose in the 3 days that passed. There was purpose in the stone rolling away and the guards trembling. There was purpose in leaving behind the grave clothes. There was purpose in leaving a tomb empty. And there is purpose today as we proclaim your death until you come again. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning in verse 4, reads, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, and yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed." And this morning, with your emblems in hand, I'm going to ask you to hold your bread up. And like you believe it, I'm not talking about under your breath, I'm talking about like you believe it, you're going to make this proclamation. This is the body of Christ for my healing. Take, eat. Praise you, Jesus. And now take your cup and hold it up, and like you mean it, not under your breath, but like you mean it, declare, "This is the blood of Christ for my sins." This morning, as our praise team comes forward to close with song, we want you to know that our altar is open. If you have any need of prayer, you're welcome to come forward. If you have a healing that you want to receive, you're certainly welcome to come forward. And we'll pray with you. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we'll meet you here and talk with you. Whatever your need is, no matter where you're at, if the front of the church is too crowded for you this morning and you want somebody to pray with you toward the back, just go to the back and raise your hand. We'll come and pray with you. But his body was broken that yours might be healed, and his blood poured out that your sins be forgiven. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we do give you all praise and all glory and honor for being with us today, for being the God who still heals. I thank you, Father, that we are able to come to a knowledge of different ways that you heal. So that, yes, Lord, we will come to you expecting, but expecting that you will do great things. And that being our only expectation. Not expecting right now. Not expecting because I said so. But expecting that you will do great things. Father, if your children have any needs, bid them come to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.